just really searching right now. I mean, my favorite professor doesn't even believe in God. And my roommate is part of this totally different religion that's actually pretty interesting to me. And then there's my boyfriend who just kind of picks and chooses from different religions. You know, I always thought I knew what I believed about God. Now I'm just not sure.
Well, the good news is it doesn't really matter what you believe, as long as you're sincere.
I shouldn't even have to tell you this, but God never said that. I do believe that sincerely looked like it hurt. You got one on your hair. That's hilarious.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Wow, you guys are looking amazing. Hasn't it been a great service so far? Yes. We're here on this beautiful Sunday morning with amazing special music. Thank you, Michelle. Thank
Woo-hoo!
You so much.
Yes, that was awesome.
Great worship. Great people in church. And it's Easter Sunday, and isn't it great to know that no matter what we believe in life, as long as we're sincere, all roads lead to heaven? What? What?
God never said that. Didn't you hear?
Well, at least, you know, no matter what we believe, we're all God's children, right? Yeah, isn't that right? We're all God's children. Come on.
I'm getting my frustrations out. God never said that.
My goodness. Well, we're all good people, right? You're a good person.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. You guys are all good people, right?
Yes.
And we're in church.
We're in church.
And it's Easter.
It's Easter.
So if we're good people and we're in church, we must be good with God, right?
God never said that. I think I should preach the message this morning. What do you guys think?
So if God never said that, what did he say?
We're going to find that out this morning. So I'm going to get rid of this. Oh, this is going to be a mess. Everybody's not going to want me to be here ever again.
This is just a foretaste of the next 2 weeks. So you want to come back every week.
Yes, we're going to learn.
Because it gets more dangerous and more painful for me.
We're going to learn what God said, what he truly said, and we're going to learn to go to the Word to find what he said. And I want to say a special, special welcome to all of our guests this morning. You know, you could have chose anywhere to be on Easter Sunday, and you chose to be here with us. And we're grateful, and we know that God is going to do some amazing things, and I want your hearts just to be ready to hear the Word, ready to hear what God's going to speak to you. I believe that as you're here, God's going to be doing stuff in your family's life,
Amen.
In your bodies. Maybe some of you have come today and needing healing. I believe we're going to see a change in that in the name of Jesus. Amen. And situations in your family are going to turn this morning. Amen?
Amen?
When we come together to be with the Lord, it's exciting to see what God does. He loves it when you come to the house of the Lord.
Yeah.
So I'm going to turn it over to you.
Are you sure you can do that?
I think I can do that. I'm going to get some of the feathers out of your hair, honey.
Thank you.
Oh, so it's going to be a good Sunday. Are you ready for a good Sunday?
Yeah.
Kids, are you ready for a good Sunday? Are you sure? You don't sound like you're very ready. I'm going to ask again. Kids, are you ready for a good Sunday? Yeah. Yay! Yes! Okay.
Praise God. So great to have all the young people in the service today as well. We're going to have a little bit of a shorter service on purpose so that you can go and enjoy the rest of this beautiful day with your family. But this is the family of God. As Mark said, Go Church, we're a family of churches working together to reach the world. We have congregations in Bradford and Liverpool, and we'll be starting in Beirut shortly. And all over the place, we have a corporate values, three corporate values. Does anybody know what those corporate values are? There's hints all over. What are the corporate values? Number one, two, grow, go. That's right. They're all over the place to help us make sure that we understand and work together. But that's the same thing that's happening in Bradford this morning. Same thing that's happening also in Liverpool and then, of course, in Beirut. So I want to talk a little bit about what does God say about what we believe this morning, not what God God hasn't said those things that we saw. But you know, there's a lot of things that are attributed to God, and people say God said that. Some of them are silly. As you ever heard this expression? Don't you know that cleanliness is next to godliness? Well, it's in the Bible, right? It's not. I mean, maybe the principle is, but it's not in the Bible. But sometimes we say, like, God said that. You know, some are silly like that, but others are a little bit more dangerous and a little bit more serious and leave the wrong impression of the character of God. So, for example, how many of you have ever, when someone's tried to comfort you, maybe you've heard something like this, when someone who we loved has passed away, God just needed another angel. We hear different expressions like that. It must have been their time to go. But what does God really say about these things? That's what we're going to be looking at over these next 3 weeks, different aspects of this. And so today, it doesn't matter what you believe. God never said that. It matters what you believe. And we're going to look at what we believe today. And then next week, it doesn't matter what you do. God never said it doesn't matter what you do. We're going to look at that. And then we're going to also look at the fact that God never said it doesn't matter who you are. Those things as we move forward together. And so today, though, as we move through this morning's message, we're going to look at these areas. How God said our beliefs are formed. How do we get beliefs? Secondly, where are they formed? And thirdly, how do we take those beliefs and action those beliefs? And so that's what we're going to be looking at as we go through this morning's message. And how beliefs are formed, first of all, I want you to see this scripture here. Let's read it out loud together in a count of three. Children and everybody, help me out and read it together with us. One, two, three. Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Well, that's a pretty powerful scripture. And one of the reasons why it's important what we believe is because our beliefs shape our lives. Our beliefs shape our lives. And everybody in this room believes something. And our life, the way we are today, is a product of what we believed yesterday and what we're believing right now. So if we want a different result, we need to look at our beliefs. That scripture says all things are possible to him who believes. Well, it's important for us to understand really what that's talking about, because it's not whatever you believe and whatever created that belief in you. It's actually speaking of certain kinds of beliefs that make all things possible. And if our beliefs shape our lives, which they do, then it's important that we have the right beliefs so that we end up with the right results of what God wants for us. So as we look at this, what is the source of what I believe? I want you to think about that question for a second. What is the source of what you believe? All things are possible to those who believe, but not all things anything. What is the source of what you believe? So our beliefs, everyone has beliefs today, and the beliefs that we believe are based on sources of different things. So for example, feelings or senses. If I believe that I'm well because I feel well, or believe that I'm sick because I feel sick, I'm basing my belief on feelings, not on what the Bible says concerning my situation. I'm using that because it's a very simplistic one, and it's easy to tell the difference in it. But it's the same with all. If I believe that I'm no good and I'll never amount to anything, then that doesn't line up with what God's word is. So if I believe that, though, it will cause limits to be in my life. So a scripture that says all things are possible to those who believe means there's a limitless possibility if we have the right kind of beliefs. But if we have the wrong kind of beliefs, for example, based on feelings or circumstances or what people have said about us in the past, those are three ways beliefs have been formed in us. Our circumstances in life, when circumstances change, suddenly our beliefs change. Or when feelings change, suddenly our beliefs change. Or what someone has told about us, said about us over our life in the past. You're no good. You can't amount to anything. You're never going to succeed in life. Those things in the past. Maybe what we've said over ourselves. I'm just a fearful person. I'm a worrying person. I'm not sure I can really do whatever the result of that is. So these words that we've spoken, these circumstances or these feelings, they all work together to create beliefs in us that actually don't result in all things are possible. The end result of those beliefs are limitations. So the question is what is the source of our beliefs? And this scripture right here tells us the right source for our beliefs. It says, faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is heard through what? The word about Christ. Or King James says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. So it's the scriptures, the word, what God said about you and me, that should be what is determining our beliefs. And if circumstances, feelings, or what others have said, or even what we've said about ourselves that are not in agreement with God's word, if that's what's determining our beliefs, then we have the wrong source. If we have the wrong source, it will shape our lives in the wrong way. But if we have the right source, then it will shape our lives in the right way. So the interesting thing about this is, let me mention something here before I forget, a great illustration. About 22 years ago when we started, about to start the church, right before the church even really properly started, a young man came into our launch team, which you guys are shaping right now. He came into our launch team, and he was a mess. I mean, he was never on time. He was covered normally when he arrived at our, you know, Bible studies or our meetings. He was covered in oil from top to bottom because his car was continually breaking down. And he was always fixing his car. And he was always struggling financially. His job, I think, had caused, there were some problems with his job recently. And he had recently gotten so depressed that he actually had considered suicide. And I was meeting with this guy on a regular basis and trying to, you know, speak the life of God's word into him and really help him along the journey. And we were getting little bits of progress over a period of months. But then suddenly something completely changed in his life. And I thought, well, maybe all this work I've done and all the hours I've spent with him trying to help him see who he is in Christ and all these, maybe it finally is paid off. And I was kind of like praising God because I, like almost overnight, I saw all those things we were talking about come to pass in his life. And he's starting to get a new car, he's getting a new job, you know, he's on time most of the time. And all kinds of great things like that. And then so I asked him one time, I said, what do you think it was? Because I've noticed all these, you know, you're really getting a lot of traction with the promises of God. What do you think it was? And we talked back and forth, and we realized, you know what? It really wasn't even me that was helping him. He did one thing different compared to before it was working for him and after it wasn't, before it was not working with him and then after it was working with him. And the one thing he did different was he started reading his Bible every day. And it started to change the shape of the way he thought about himself and the way he spoke about himself. So his belief systems were beginning to change. And as a result of his belief systems beginning to change, his life began to produce that as a result of that. And so I want to encourage you, if you've not joined us, a little bit of a promo for our week daily Bible reading together. We have a group that we meet together online through social media, and we make comments and we read together and we encourage each other through that. And if you want to be a part of that, you get a blog once a week as well, gochurch.cc/readingplan, and people from Beirut and Liverpool and Bradford are all connected, as well as here in Manchester as well. So I encourage you, if you don't read your Bible on a regular basis, there's a YouVersion app that makes it super easy and it helps remind you to do it, and there's people that can do it with you to kind of get you started. And you can start with just little baby steps as well. But that's a great resource if you're not already doing it. Okay, so God's word is the source that, from which we should form all our beliefs. And now a person's word is only as good as their character is, right? If a person doesn't have a good character, their word is no good. If someone, my grandfather was someone that he could buy a house with a handshake. Because everybody knew that his word was his bond. He didn't even have to have a contract. I think he bought his engagement ring with a handshake. He bought his land with a handshake. Things like that. And my father was that same way. And I was raised that it's really important that you do what you say you do. And not go against that. But even then, the Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie. Men let us down. Men and women, humanity let us down. From time to time, we don't follow through, like we said, sometimes by accident, sometimes on purpose. Men let us down. But God is not a man that he should lie. So his character is love and truth. And because it's not that he is someone who loves us, he is love. That's a big difference. So that means he can't even not love us. Because it's just who he is. It's like a dog can't not bark. You know, a dog just barks. That's who he is. It's his nature to bark. And God is love. Not just that he will love us or he does love us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God so loved you that he gave himself for us. But it's more than that. He is love, the Bible says. So everything that God does must be in line with who he is, his character. The second thing about God, and there's many other aspects of God, but the two I want to draw attention to, the second thing is God is truth. The Bible says both those things. He is love and he is truth. That means not that he won't lie. He chooses not to lie. It means that he cannot lie, as the scriptures say. He must speak truth. That's why the Bible says that the worlds were formed by his word, and it infers that if even one little bit of the word of God was to not come to pass the way God promised it, that the whole world would unravel, because the source of all creation is God said. So if our beliefs are based off of circumstances, feelings, or what someone besides God has said, they're subject to change and they're not good. They're not based on truth. They're not based on God's love. But we can count on God because of his character and his word and him are the same. And so because of that, we can know from his word, it can shape the beliefs that we have. And we can know that we know that we know. If he said it about us, that's so. One of our scriptures most recently was the scripture that says that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So all that he has said about you is absolutely yes. We don't have to hope or wonder about it. It is so. So the beliefs that come to us, and it's okay to question the source of our beliefs. I remember my son when he was, now he's 23 years old and he's married and he served in the military and he's now, you know, getting on with starting businesses and things. But when he was 10 years old, I remember him sitting next to me here in sort of the Swinton area where we were living, and in our front lounge there, and he sat next to me, and he was a little bit concerned, and he says, you know, Dad, I'm like the only one in my school that believes like me. Talking about beliefs. And he's 10, he's coming to that age where he's no longer underneath that place of innocence, but he's coming to a place of accountability and understanding within himself where he has to make his own decision. We term that the age of accountability. So as he was coming through that process, and a lot of children will say this, they'll say, maybe I only believe in Jesus because you taught me to believe in Jesus. So maybe it's not real. You know, to a Christian pastor parent, not just a Christian parent, but a Christian pastor parent, it's like, oh! But I had known already that would happen at some point, so I was prepared and I didn't suck all the air out of the room. You foolish child, don't you know? Just believe I told you the right truth. No, I said actually to him, I said, that's a good question. And you need to find out for yourself what you believe. Don't believe anything because I believe it. Believe it because you know it to be true. Find out for yourself. And he did, and he does, and he worships God, and he stood up for God in the midst of all kinds of a world that's going the other way, and he's done it in his own way with tattoos and everything, but he's still done it. And I'm super proud of him. But it's because he understood and got to a place of understanding when he was younger of what he believed himself. He wasn't riding on my beliefs. So whether you go to church or whether you're a Christian because your parents, especially you children that are in church today, if you like, oh, I'm a Christian because my family's Christian, that's not enough. You need to ask the question, what's the source of your beliefs? And especially today, I want on Easter Sunday, where we're talking about the resurrected King, what do you believe about Jesus? That's the question we want to leave you with today, is what do you believe about Jesus? I'm going to show you a video in just a few minutes. that is a powerful story of a man's life that was radically changed. Similar to that young man I told you about, where he started to read the Word and he saw himself in Scriptures and life changed as a result. Similar to my son, who, having that faith within himself, it began to govern his actions as he went through life, and he made choices because God was leading him to make choices, not because it was the best thing in the way human wisdom would say. And as a result, he's got to a good place in his life. So our beliefs shape our life. And if you want your life to be up and down based on feelings or up and down based on changing circumstances, continue to base your beliefs on those things, which can be here today and gone tomorrow. But if you want to have a certainty of a good life that has good promise, the dream of God to be established in your life, then it must be squarely based, your beliefs must be squarely based on God's Word. Amen? Amen. Praise God. So, let's look here. Yes, change the source of your beliefs. You change the source, then you'll change your beliefs. If you change your beliefs, then you'll change your life. Pardon me. Here's a scripture that underscores that. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be what? By the renewing of our... So it starts with the thoughts, then it goes into the beliefs. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The is he part, the result of life, starts with the thoughts and getting the thoughts lined up with God's thoughts, renewing our mind to the way he thinks about us, and that happens from God's Word. So, and if we do that, then it says, then you will be able to test or prove what is that good, God's, what God's will is, his good. Everybody say good. Pleasing and perfect will. His will is good. It is good. So, big question. You came here today with beliefs. Everyone has them. You came into this room with beliefs about yourself, about God, about your future. They may not be based on truth. They may not be based on God who is love. What does his word say about you? What does his word say about your future? What does his word say about yourself, God, and your future? Okay, so that's how beliefs are formed. They are formed and should be formed. They come from circumstance, feelings, and these things, but they should be. We should be replacing those things with being formed from God's Word. But where in our lives, what does God say about where our beliefs are formed? Where does it happen? Are they formed through circumstances that, and, you know, sort of our senses, Are they formed through our mind, or does it happen somewhere else? Maybe like in our heart, which is where it happens. So the Ethiopian eunuch, does anybody remember the story of the Ethiopian eunuch? So let me quickly tell you. He was kind of like the chancellor of the exchequer. He was the minister of finance for Ethiopia. He took care of all the money for the queen of Ethiopia at the time. Her name was Candace. And he worshipped Jehovah God as a Jew. He was a religious person. But religion isn't enough. You can be religious but not right with God. The only way we can become right with God is through Jesus. So and you can read about it in Acts chapter 8, but Philip, who was an evangelist, he was led by the Lord to come and meet him on the road as he was traveling back from worshiping in Jerusalem, as a good Jew would do. And he's reading the book of Isaiah, and as he's reading the book, he's not understanding it. So Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? He says, how can I unless somebody shows me? So Philip gets together with him. They talk, and he says, from the scriptures there, from that moment, he began to show him that through the scriptures that Jesus is the Savior. He's the Messiah that was prophesied about in Isaiah so many years before, hundreds of years before. And so as they were traveling, Philip must have talked to him about the reality of death, burial, and resurrection, that we serve a resurrected king, which is what today's all about. Because as they neared the water, he says this scripture, he says, so what's keeping me from being water baptized then? Listen to Philip's response. Acts 8, verse 37. Then Philip said, if you with all your heart, you may be baptized. So he's like, in a water baptism, it's one of the proofs of water baptism never saves anybody. Water baptism is an outward show of an inward work. But the key I want you to key in on here is, he's if you believe with all your heart. So the believing happens not in our heads. The believing's not with the senses, the five senses. In other words, our physical body. The believing happens in our heart, the center of us, the real us. And he says, and his response, and he answered, he said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That's all it takes to go from religious to right with God. Believing. And how did he get that? It says they were reading from Isaiah. So the same way we talked about, how are beliefs formed? They come through the Word of God. He shaped some new beliefs, and he had beliefs of a religious belief that he was right, but he saw through scriptures that he needed to do something different. He saw that Jesus was the Son of God and that he was risen again. And so then he said, that belief was building up, and then he had to do a next thing, which was he had to confess, he had to act on that. So beliefs are formed through God's word. True beliefs are formed through God's truth, his word. Where are they formed? They're formed in our heart, the real us, our spirit. So here's another scripture that says almost the same thing. Excuse me. It's at Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 through 10. It says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and do what? Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Why? Verse 10 says, for it is with the heart that man believes. So believing happens in our heart, and the heart is the real you. That's your spirit. Your physical body will pass away and turn to dust, but the real you is the eternal part of you. You may have heard that many times, and you may have heard it for the first time today, but here's a verse of scripture that shows it very clearly, that he says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body. So spirit and soul are different things. And the point I want to draw attention to here is the real you is an eternal part of you. God is eternal. You were created in his likeness and image. So you are also eternal. The Bible says God is a spirit. As I just said, you were created in his image. So you were created spirit. So your body will turn to dust. But the real you is an eternal being that will exist forever. So it's from the eternal part of us, our spirit, our heart, our human spirit, our heart, that part of us is the part from which we believe. Not from the head. Our thoughts can be fleeting and change. Not from our senses. Our senses can change and circumstances can change. We believe with the heart. Why? Because the heart is eternal. The word of God is eternal. God is eternal. And you have to use an eternal part of you to believe in eternal God and his eternal word. Amen? Jesus said something very similar about the difference between body and spirit. Jesus replied to a guy that wanted to know what he needed to do, and he says, verily I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's what? And this guy is an older guy. His name was Nicodemus, and he says, what in the world is that about? What do you mean, born again? He says, how can someone when he's old, be born again? How can you be born twice? Nicodemus asked. Surely you cannot enter a second time in your mother's womb. What? He's thinking naturally. So we're drawing the difference between spirit and body here. And he says, Jesus answered, verily I tell you that no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born with water and the spirit. He's talking about the water breaking at the natural birth and then spiritual birth, being born again and being born physically. They're two separate things. So if you're a good person, you go to church, you're a religious person, all those things, but you've never been born again according to what Jesus said, there's something yet to do. If you're a religious person like that very influential man from Ethiopia, he needed to receive Jesus as Savior. What are your beliefs about God? What are your beliefs about yourself? So, we've talked about how beliefs are formed. True beliefs are formed through God's truth, his word. Secondly, they're shaped in our spirit, in our heart. That's where they should be shaped. Another scripture here, it says, guard your heart, for out of it, everything you do flows. Protect your heart. So, it happens in our heart. We want to protect our heart. We want to be careful what we're allowing to come in through our eyes, what we see, children especially. Hey, parents, you need to help guard your parents. You know, children, you do not have the right to use your phone or internet anytime you want. Your parents are there to help you make sure that you do the right things at the right time with the internet access and all of that. Why? Because it's from your heart that everything issues, and it's from your heart that you believe. It's the most important part of you. And so, parents, you have a responsibility, but then also children, you need to let your parents do that and make sure that you guard your heart, because your parents are not always going to be with you. Okay, so then let's bring this into a finish line here. So let me ask you the question. How do our beliefs, how do true beliefs get shaped in our lives? From God's Word. Where do our beliefs issue from? In our heart, the spirit of man, the real us. So here's four things that will happen in just a minute or so, I'll talk about how you turn the beliefs in your heart into realities. Because remember we said, if you're not getting the right results, we need to change our source. Let's ask the question, what is the source of our beliefs? Why do we believe what we believe? Secondly, once we've changed that and we agree with God's Word, so change the source, get a new source, get God's Word, then that will change our beliefs. And if we have changing beliefs, it'll change the shape of our life. So, number one, only source you should have is God's Word. Number two, spend time renewing your thinking to that which is God's Word. Change your thinking. Well, if you hear yourself say something that is different from what God says about you, that's a sign that your belief is not quite there yet. Go back into the Scriptures, find out what God says about you in that area, and feed on that area. Renew your mind over and over again. Spend time looking at it. And what you see is what you'll get. The next one, guard your heart. I just mentioned that. And finally, say what you believe. What's the fourth one?
Say
what you believe. That is one of the keys to activating what is in your heart and bringing it into reality in your life. Say what you believe. We already looked at the Scripture, but let's look at the other side of the Scripture. We looked at that Scripture from the belief standpoint. We believe with our heart, but let's look at the part we do with our mouth. It says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart, it's you do what? And are justified. And it is with your mouth that you profess or confess your faith and are saved. So salvation or change of life comes from that which we say. So change the source, change the belief, change the results. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, we're going to show a video now of a story whose life was radically changed as we finished the service this morning. But please pay very careful attention to this story and you'll see he had one thought about his life, one future about his life. Then what happened is he things changed, and kind of try and look and see if you can see the same pattern of what we just found out today from Scriptures.
So I'm often asked, why did you get involved with crime? I say it wasn't a conscious decision. I didn't see the careers lady at school and say, there's a course you can do in armed robbery. It was just there. It was all around us. And it all started with weed and drinking, cannabis, the usual stuff. We used to steal badges off expensive cars and swap them like trading cards. And it just progressed to the entire car. And I got involved with the people who were really pulling all the strings. So we went up to this guy's house who owed them a few £100. It was nothing to them. But the problem was he'd been going around telling everybody that he wasn't going to pay it. So they had to set an example. So they got this guy. He was in his garden. His little lad was there. So he got out of the car, grabbed this bloke, put him in the car, sat between us. And he drove up to what's called Niner's Quarry and pulled a petrol strimmer out of the boot of the car, gave it to me and said, do his feet. So strimmed his feet, just lacerated his feet. And this was my initiation. So that just moved on and on and on. Cut a long story short, Leeds Crown Court, courtroom number 3, he handed me down 7.5 years. And I just thought to myself, that's it, gloves are off. If I'm gonna be bad, I'm gonna be the best kind of bad I can possibly be. Because I got moved from prison to prison to prison, put on category A maximum security because of my behavior. And there's this lad coming round, another inmate. He comes up to me and he says, do you wanna go on an alpha course? No idea what he was talking about. I said, look, get out of my face, sunshine, before I slap you. I thought no more of it. And next day, and this kid's coming around with his clipboard again. So I'm just waiting for this kid to get within slapping range. And he must have sensed something wasn't right because he blurted something out really quickly. He went, you get Wednesday afternoon at a bang up and you get free coffee and you get free biscuits. All right, I'll see you on Wednesday. And we just started giving her a hard time, a really hard time. The thing that stopped me, it wasn't what they said because I wasn't really listening. But it was how they did it. They came back at me with love and compassion every single time. So I sat there on my bunk and I said the first real prayer I'd ever said in my life. I didn't know if I was doing it right or not. But the gist of it was, God, I need you to take away the anger, the violence, the hate, I need you to take away the addictions, which I've tried to fight and I just lose every time. And if you do that for me, I will live the rest of my life for you. But the next morning, I woke up, as I always had done. Rolled over to grab the smoke, as I always had done. But I couldn't touch it. Everything about it, the look, the thought, the smell, everything made me want to be sick. And I knew what I had to do, so I went and got my little stash and I put it straight out of the cell window. And as soon as they'd gone, I started to feel a bit better. I started to calm down a little bit. But I was still freaking out. So I just said to myself, Daryl, calm down. Go get a wash. Go get a shave. And as I started to get a wash, I looked in the mirror and just stopped dead. Because I didn't recognise my own reflection. I was like, that guy's smiling. Not just smiling, that guy's beaming. And I noticed I didn't just look different, I felt different. Everything had gone. It was as if someone had unscrewed the top of my head and just poured freezing cold water in, and everything had been just washed out clean. So the chaplain comes onto the wing and I just told him absolutely everything. And he said, the man that went to bed last night is not the same man that's standing here this morning. You're a new creation. And that was it. I said, no more. No more fighting, no more drugs, no more nothing. If you owe me anything, forget it. If you're holding anything of mine, keep it. I don't want it. I'm done. I'm finished. Jesus has saved me. And then when it came time for my release, I knew I was going to go into full-time ministry. Reverend Mark Finch, JP, a magistrate, and he said, would you consider coming to Runcorn near Liverpool? We've got a new church plant. We're just getting going. There's a big problem with young people and gangs and drugs. Would you come? I knew it was the right place to go. So he picked me up from the gates on the morning of my release. He took me to his house, not her house, his home. And his eldest is his daughter, Rebecca, who is now my wife and the mother to my two amazing children, Benjamin and Lydia Grace. My life just couldn't look more different than what it is now.
Power of sin was broken through the cross. Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed.